If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good Sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back live to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where they have closed the roof with a quickness. It is shutting down here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and it is the aftermath of a 1-1 draw, Atlanta United and FC Dallas. And just moments ago, down on the field, Madison Cruz caught up with the manager of Atlanta United, Ronnie Dyla.
Coach, what did you see from the touchline?
I think first 25, very good. And we had a period that we were a little bit back to the things that we had done before, a little bit playing slow. Yeah, and then let them get into the game without them creating anything. Second half, we should have more, we should kill the game, but we don't do that. Had a couple of opportunities, we have a lot of crosses, don't create enough clear-cut chances. And then if they get, always will get one chance, and they score on that. They pushed in the end and go for second, but again, not accurate in the last third of the pitch, so we didn't get the goal we deserve. I think we deserve to win, but same time, we need to do more.
I want to ask about Tristan Moyamba. What have you seen from him in training and in the match today?
It's been very good for a long period now, so he's just improving all the time. So that's nice to see. So we just need to keep progressing, and then we'll get even better results.
What are the takeaways, especially heading into next Saturday's match against New England?
As you see that we start to become the team we're talking about, but again, it's periods, and it's some things that we like mentality-wise. We need to push more, we need to talk more, we need to show more desire to win. But last 2015 was when we did the subs. I think they come on good, but I think we need more. That's for sure. But okay, that's where we are right now, and that's where we have to push from.
Thank you, Coach.
A couple of themes developing as we welcome you back to the press box. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson, a soccer down here, and there are a couple themes for me that kind of jump out at it. And you know, it's funny because I was sitting with Maddie in the press box, and this is about 15 minutes in, and I'm thinking, man, they have really dominated this first run of play, and there wasn't much to show for it. Now, you eventually do get a penalty kick almost right after I was going to say something.
So you needed to say that more then.
I guess so. But to what Dyla said and to what was going on in my brain, there's stretches of games where you dominate and you just aren't making teams pay. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is the full 90.
Yep.
And what is going on for it to allow you to have stretches and then where you then allow the other team to get the better of play. And they're still trying to figure this out. It is still the early stages of this season, but some of the excuses have gone a little bit awry. But those are the themes that I look at right now and say, if they can figure these two things out, make teams pay when they dominate play.
Yep.
And find ways to dominate play for the full 90. They're on to something, but that hasn't happened yet. It's 1-1 today, John.
Yeah, and you had those stretches where in the first 45, you're thinking, okay, they're pushing, And in the back of your mind, you're sitting there thinking, man, this really should be 2 or 3 nil.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of opportunities. The one where I want to say it was Latte Lott coming to the near post, and then he ends up passing, and there's no one at the back post to receive. And it looked like two folks were heading to the same location right toward the top of the six in between the penalty spot and the edge of the six. No one's at the back post. Those kinds of things, you know, once again, I think that that comes with practice and that comes with, you know, learning each other and that kind of a thing. So by the end of the break, it's still 1-0. You could have had 2 or 3. And then, as Ronnie Dyla said, first 25, very good. And then, once again, for whatever the reason is, and that's stuff that they have to figure out, you know, you're letting the other team back in. What is it that it means that you're letting this happen? And you let it happen, let it happen, let it happen. You're not getting that second goal on the board. Dallas isn't getting that first goal on the board until the moment with Musa in the second half, but you're not getting that extra moment that you really need right now, and that's what Ronnie Dyla in with Maddie. We should kill the game. Then they have that one chance.
Yeah.
They take advantage of that one chance. And, you know, once again, when you have a team like FC Dallas that at points was playing two lines of four that blended into almost a line of eight at one point when you're at 1-1, it just looked like Eric Quill and FC Dallas wanted to take the point and just go ahead and head out of town. At points in the second half anyway. That was the because everybody was playing back. If they had 19 players, they would all be playing back and trying to prevent that second goal from Atlanta United. Get the point on the road, get out of town.
You know me, John. I'm a multi-sport guy. I was
yes.
watching everything. And in today's game kind of echoed what we saw from the Final Four matchup between Auburn and Florida.
I did not watch it because I did not watch the regional final with the Bosses team as they won. So since they won the regional final and I didn't watch it, I wasn't watching today either. So you're going to have to elucidate with me. I know what happened, but tell me from your
perspective. Well, what I'm referencing is the fact that Auburn had the better of play in the first half.
Yes,
Auburn went up 9, but they just couldn't find a double-digit lead. They just couldn't do whatever was necessary to put Florida away in that game.
Well, Florida kept hitting threes from what I understand.
But in the second half, Florida goes on a run and come back and win. And it's just the idea was it just felt like Auburn was a 1 or 2 basket stretch away from putting the Gators down. And I think that's what you're somewhat discussing here, is mm-hmm. it just felt like Atlanta United was one touch away, one extra nudge, and this game is probably put to rest. But you weren't able to do that. You come out of halftime, and they eventually find one midway through the second half. Peter Musa gets one unassisted. Quick look at the numbers. This statistical recap is brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Possession was a huge margin for Atlanta United, 58% to 42%. But again, it only goes so far as are you touching the back of the net with as much as you're controlling it.
I think
it.
That FC Dallas literally was just like you want. We're going to let you do.
Sure.
We're going to let you do all the work, and if it ends up, it's what you do with that 58%.
And that's where it gets to the rest of the numbers. Shots were 11-10. Shots on goal were even, 2 apiece. And the XG for Atlanta United, and this goes to, again, you know how I feel about XG.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, what is your
to
what
how
is your
we
AG?
Are frustrated is 1.8.
Mm-hmm.
They were at 1. They have 1.
Yep.
You have 1.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to have 1.8.
I was going to say the point.
I don't know
the
if they decimal point goals here for you. But the ultimately where it all circles to is 1 point. And it looks like Ronnie Dyla has taken to the press conference podium. Let's hear some further comments from the Atlanta United manager.
If you had to choose one, are you more concerned with the fact that there's been the team's had 1 clean sheet so far this season, or is it the lack of creating those goal scoring moments?
It's both. Because we don't give away a lot. Maybe they score on almost everything they get. And there's 2 big chances. They get 2 big chances when they first get it. So that's both. And we need to score more also when you see how much play we have and how much we are around the box. And that's. But that, I think that will come. You know, we have players who can do it. And of course, was Alex is an important player for us. When he was couldn't play from start today, that was a blow. You see what he can add when he comes onto the game. So he's the key that often can open up the other team. But yeah, we can talk about attacking or we can talk about defending. But overall, we should create more, and we should avoid that goal chance they had because that was straight through the center that we have talked about the whole week. But when they have one, you
that's you know, normal that once something is going to happen the other way as well.
Yeah, and so there you hear a little bit of the frustration and a couple of aspects here that jump out at you. And he referenced the situation with Alexei Maranchuk and an adductor injury sustained this week, and he was questionable most of the week, and ultimately they just didn't feel like he could go from the start. And that, I think, does adjust how you're able to play. And again, Alexei Maranchuk's had such a weird first couple of months here in Atlanta United, and a lot of people maybe are critical and look down at some of the performances. But I think in a match like today, you really see, and maybe you don't always credit it, maybe we don't give the ability its due, but Maranchuk's ability to connect the defense to the offense. And I think, and certainly we're not going to take away from Miggy, but it's just a different feel, and there's maybe not as much of that. And maybe we didn't give enough credence to that aspect of Maranchuk's game. I do think you did miss that a little bit today.
And I think that what we've seen with Alexei Maranchuk when Atlanta United is successful, and I'll use air quotes. You can go out, it's a dollar in the jar for me this season by using air quotes. But when you see Atlanta United push and press and create chances and be successful in those chances, you see what Alexei Maranchuk can do. He will come back. He'll come back closer to the back line,
yeah,
and he'll be that first touch for the back line to work things forward through the midfield. It's not those. It's not your two defensive mids. It's not your two sixes. But Maranchuk comes back to help out and be a part of the cavalry. Then he gets that first touch, and there's a lot of space that's there for him to work. He'll come forward in that space. And then when the defense closes in on him, that means that with that positional gravity that we talk about occasionally, that means that someone's open, and you get to feel the creativity that's there with Alexei Maranchuk when he gets to that second level and can work it out wide and can work it to the right-hand side or can work it to the middle, and then it can get pushed to the left. And when you have that kind of ability with someone like Maranchuk, who can come all the way back and basically be a box-to-box attacking midfielder, if you want to call it that. Literally, you see him as far back as the arc in one way and being able to create at the arc at the other way. So not having that today against a team that wanted to stay at home a lot defensively, I think that you did get to see what it was like not having Alexei Maranchuk out there for the first 60 minutes and then having him come in, and what the difference was in creation, even though it didn't end up in that second goal.
So with Maranchuk largely off the table for this, we do have to give out a man of the match here, John. Who are we thinking?
I'm thinking it's going to go to Miguel Almiron. He was the highest-rated player, according to our friends at SofaScore, coming into the match. He had 22 goals in his MLS regular season career. He was tied for third in Atlanta United history. Now he's tied for second with Thiago Almada at 23, and some guy named Joseph Martinez has 98. But now Miggy is now tied at second all-time in regular season goals for Atlanta United. His stat line on the day, playing the full 90 minutes with the one goal, 64 touches, 89% passing at 39 of 44, one key pass, three crosses, 4 for 4 on his long balls, had one shot on target. Along the line, he also won 2 of 3 on the ground. He was fouled one time, had a tackle as well. So Miguel Almiron is a player of the match for the statistical jump, now being tied for two. He's T2 in Atlanta United history and goals in the night that he had across the board.
With that said, that is his first man of the match of the season, but he was not the only one who performed well. When we return here on the full-time report, I do want to highlight a couple of other players that I think stepped up and played well. We'll also take a listen back to the highlights. That's all coming your way on the other side. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order is backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As I always say, the aftermath of a 1-1 draw, Atlanta United and FC Dallas will each take a point home. And that's better than nothing, but it certainly is not the 3 points that a lot of Atlanta United fans felt could have been theirs. And certainly there were stretches in the game where they could have taken it upon themselves to make it theirs. And there were also some moments late where it felt like the points were being taken off the board. Of course, some shots there at the officiating, if you will.
Off air, yes.
I'll do it on air. I don't care.
All right.
I'm not paid by the MLS. What are they going to do? We'll just have to do the show from back in the studio if I have my credentials revoked.
It's like, excuse me, sir. It's like you hit the QR code. They're like, Mr. Gordon over here, please.
Yeah, so look, it is a 1-1 draw, and here's how it went down. It's the highlights that are brought to you by SCANA. For over 20 years, SCANA Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And it started within the first 20 minutes. Latte Loth gets pulled from behind in the box. And I had to take a second look at this because at
you
first –
You did?
Well – yeah, because at first I saw his arm around and there was no pull. And then there was a second step and there was a pull. Yeah. And it was a very clear and easy call. And then Miguel Almiron steps up to the spot.
Action at the goal to our right. Almiron against Paz. Miguel standing to the right of the ball with hands on hips. He's up to it. He strikes it. Score! Miguel Almiron from the penalty spot. He has scored in back-to-back matches for Atlanta United. And they are up 1-0 in the 18th minute.
Really high-quality penalty kick. And there's two ways you can score on a penalty kick. You can send the keeper the wrong way, or you can not care where he goes and just hit it where he can't prevent it. And that's what Miggy did. A keeper does guess right. Too much pace. Too much to the post, and he gets by. Really nice there. And you gave me the double look when I said I wanted to take another look at it. I expect the officials to take every opportunity to overturn nonsense, right? Uh-huh. That's my concern. So I wanted
you want to talk about late.
I just wanted to see, but they can't review that, right? They could review the penalty to see if it actually was.
So
I was
just let the play.
I just wanted the second look to make sure it was definitely a penalty.
Yeah.
I saw it. There was no way they were going to overturn that, and we advanced there. That's in the 17th minute. Atlanta United carries that 1-0 lead into halftime. Although there were some concerning moments there a little bit before half, but on the other side of half, 15 minutes in, Peter Musa finds an opportunity.
Guzan giving it away to Shaq Moore in the central channel. It's then backheeled to him by Ramiro. Players stumble, crashing down the middle. It's Kamungo to Acosta, back to Musa. Shot blocked at point blank, rebound back to him, and he cranks it into the net. 1-1.
And that was what it was going to be. That was all that was scoring in this one. And despite a couple of opportunities and really still think Atlanta got the better of the opportunities, but they weren't able to do much with it. A couple of moments that maybe made you a little bit scared. And it was more about you thought they could build, them being Dallas, that there was an opportunity for them to build to a dangerous spot. Then they actually got to the dangerous spot and just couldn't finish. Atlanta United got to dangerous spots, but also couldn't finish. Couple miss hits, a couple of okay saves at the near post, and certainly some miscommunications as well. You mentioned, John, that Miguel Almiron is our man of the match. Mm-hmm. In our next segment, we are going to hear from Tristan Moyamba. And I just think he just continues to be incredibly impressive in a variety of ways. And again, a lot of this goes back to the criticisms of Moyamba and some of the tough times he had last season. He's not making a start in the first two games this year. He gets called upon and seems to have locked down that role. And then he gets hurt. You're scared. I mean, we're scared that this guy might be out for the season.
Yep.
The way they're touching around his knee. It turns out it's just a couple of weeks, and he comes back tonight, first time off the injury report, and it's like there was no love lost. I mean, he was right back at it. And what really impressed me was all of the stuff he did in the first half was great. Some of the vision, some of the runs, all that stuff. The defensive recoveries late in this game, though, for Tristan Moyamba, he really did stand out to me. If we weren't going to give it to Miggy, I thought Moyamba had another, which, by the way, it was not something we were talking about last season. Mm-hmm. Look at it, third straight, fourth straight game where Moyamba's really stood out. That didn't happen last year. It's happening right now, though.
Ronnie Dyla has had a lot of great things to say about Tristan Moyamba. And once again, going back to the interview with Madison Cruz, as a coach was coming off the field, you know, he's been looking forward to this progression that we're seeing from Tristan Moyamba on the day. You mentioned the defensive numbers before we get into the other numbers. Two interceptions and five tackles in the day for Tristan Moyamba. But you got to see him as the conductor until Alexei Miranchuk came in the second half. You got to see Tristan sit there and with his vision try to create things, working centrally as a part of the midfield. But the rest of the numbers for Tristan Moyamba in the 90 minutes, 76 touches, 92% passing, 57 of 62, one key pass, two successful long balls, one successful attempt on the dribble, 7 of 9 duels won on the ground. He was fouled once as well. So once again, another full night for Tristan Moyamba, who definitely did get a lot of consideration. He and Latte Lott had the second highest score, according to our friends at SofaScore, on the night at 7.4, where Miggy hit the 7.6. But you got to see Tristan, the creator, work things through offensively for Atlanta United. And once again, Ronnie Dyla has said a lot of great things about Tristan so far here early in 2025.
All right, when we come back here on the Full-Time Report, we'll hear from Tristan Moyamba. Also, we'll take a listen to what Ronald Hernandez had to say as well. That's all coming your way. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back in. A 1-1 draw, Atlanta United and FC Dallas. And we'll take a look at the standings in a little bit. I know there's still certainly a lot of things in motion. The MLS evening and is certainly not done. And then, of course, a couple of games to be played tomorrow. But there's nobody in action right now in the Eastern Conference. Atlanta with 9 points is sitting there just outside the line there in 10th place. NYCFC tomorrow, an opportunity to jump them. They're one game in hand, if you want to call it that. Earlier, a couple of minutes ago in our last segment, we were praising Tristan Mwamba, and he spent some time with Madison Cruz post-game as well.
In the locker room at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with Tristan Mwamba, the player that I said at the end was the man of the match. Tristan, it's a game where it felt like different waves of momentum. You guys had it for a while. Dallas had it for a while. How did it feel out there to you?
No, I think tonight is we got a lot of frustration. A lot of frustration because I think we did a really good play. We didn't concede a lot of chance and we also we had a lot of chances to score the second one, but you know how football is. When you don't score the second one, you still and the other team still alive, you still vulnerable, so you can concede, and that's what happened tonight. So we was really really disappointed, but like the coach say, is a part of the process. We see a lot of improvement from the team, from everyone, and I think now we start to understand and also show what's the coach want about the team, and we start to show our identity. So yeah.
Specifically, the double pivot with you and Bartek to start and then you and Jay to finish, what does he want to see from you in that role, playing both sides, defensively and offensively?
No, just to play simple, to be ready for any duels, any challenge, and try to regain the ball, play forward, play simple, try to also switch the play as well. That's our task. So that's I think, like I say, we did well. Even when Jay went in, he understand quicker the his task, and but like we still having a lot of frustration because I think we deserve a little bit more tonight.
What do you think the next step is for this team to either put it together or be more consistent in some of those moments?
Yeah. We talk every time we talk about consistency, but it's true. We got to be more consistent to be clinical. Sometimes you can win a game with 1-0 and that's it. It's to, at the end of the day, it's three points and everyone is going to be happy. So for me, the next step is to be consistency and getting win, getting 3 points, and to try to perform during 90 minutes, not 70 minutes. And because sometimes during the game we look like we go 10 or 5 minutes where we struggle a little bit, and that's the at the point when we start to concede the opportunity or lost a couple balls. So yeah.
Tristan,
the main thing is being consistency world game. Yeah.
Tristan, thank you so much for the time. Great performance today. Glad you're back healthy, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it does not take a genius to realize that was actually Jason Longshore with Tristan Wayamba and not Madison Cruz. But Matty did actually catch up with Ronald Hernandez and has some comments that we definitely need to hear as well.
Ronald, looking at the performance today, what do you think is missing from the team in order to keep getting these wins and keep things consistent?
I think we need to be clinical in the final third. We are creating so many chances. That is the real truth. But also, we need to be honest and we need to be clinical, especially the first 20 minutes and the last 20 minutes of the whole game. We were in the front foot, you know, the kind of thing that we want to be. And that final touch is missing. But I think it's frustrating because we did things very well. That's why it's not because negative things. It's just we need to put things together and keep working. Keep working. We have the potential, and we need to believe it.
Awesome. Thank you, Ronald.
Thank you, guys.
Where do you want to start with this? Do you want to go back to the Tristan Wayamba comments, or do you want to go with what we just heard from Ronald Hernandez?
Let's go Ronald and go backwards.
So, look, this is not a new discussion, right? We went how many months last season talking about here's the XG and how far it is from your goal scored and blah, blah. That's where I developed the AG stat, right?
Yes.
Not Abe Gordon, but actual goals. And so we're back at that a little bit today, right? We talked about it. 1.8 on the XG today, just the one, though, in terms of rippling the actual back of the net.
Mm-hmm.
And you say be clinical, get the final touch, do better in the final third. Like, we've heard it all before. How do you actually do that, though?
That's why Ronnie Dyla and the staff gets the big bucks, brother. I mean, look, I think half of the battle is the internal belief. If you're not hearing it and you're not hearing the messaging and you're not hearing that from your coaches and your teammates and all that, then that, I mean, honestly, for me, that's half of it right there. To continue to have that message and to have it be a consistent message that we heard in all of the post-game comments that we're going to talk about, to be clinical, you know, they're frustrated. They get it. They understand right now that final touch for, you know, being clinical in the final third, the final touch is missing, according to Ronald. Yes, they're frustrated. They understand that the potential is there. And they're hearing that from the staff, and I think that that's just as important as the constructive criticism that they're going to be getting during the week, getting ready for New England, too. You hear the positivity that's there, you hear the encouragement that's there, they know that they have things they need to work on, they understand that, and so the fact that they are recognizing and verbalizing to us that they understand what the issues are, it's stuff that they need to tackle, and so that's the task at hand for them.
You know why I'm staying optimistic on all of this, and obviously we all agree, like, get the final touch when you have chances for a second or a third goal, put in a second or a third goal and kill the game off,
right?
And I think we all understand that. What's important, though, is – and the players are aware, mm-hmm, as well. Like, it's not a secret that you are getting good play and you are getting into dangerous spots. There are teams that are having similar discussions that don't have, as you called it, the belief, because they're not threatening.
Mm-hmm.
There is belief here that it will come as you continue to knock on that door because you are in those spots. And I think that's important to remember. And so is it frustrating that tonight could have been 3 points and it's 1 point? Yeah, from a fan's perspective, from an analyst's perspective, from Ronnie Dyla's perspective, from the player's perspective, all the way on down. Of course it is.
Yep.
But there is belief that in the next opportunity or the opportunity after that, it will look a little bit different. And I think that's an incredibly healthy mindset for a team that is not achieving at the level of, one, the expectations, or I would say not achieving at the level of necessarily the performance, which has been a commentary for a couple of days now, a couple of games.
The self-expectation, the belief in themselves, it's like, yeah, we know this is what we want to have going on. And that push is internal as much as it is external in these situations. So, like I said, they know what they got to work on, and the fact that they have – this constant reinforcement coming. And, you know, Ronnie Dyla has been the one who's going to sit there. You know, he's going to say, yes, we need to score more. We get that. And he thinks it will come. If you had a coach, if you had a manager, if you had teammates that basically just said the first sentence and not the second, yeah, we need to score more, and then he went on to the next point, whomever that individual is. Ronnie Dyla said in the post-match press conference, we need to score more. I think it will come. That goes back to that belief that we're talking about. It's coming from the top down. So you continue to hear that belief in all of the messages and all the conversations that we're having. Ronnie Dyla, overall, we need to create more. You're avoiding that one goal chance because then you end up what happens tonight with Peter Musa, something that they've talked about the entire week. Once again, they're not giving away a lot. They get that. They need to score more. They think it will come. So, I mean, yes, you're hearing all of these things, but the fact that it's top-down and it's a universal message, I think, is just as key.
All right, when we come back, we will get into exactly what Tristan Moyamba had to say as well, plus some thoughts on some players that were pressed into duty a little bit today due to a variety of injuries, not quite to the extent that Dom Tranqui was 4 minutes before kickoff week ago.
Right.
But a couple of new guys making their first starts of the season. We'll talk about all of it on the other side. It's John Nelson, Abe Gordon. It is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the Full-Time Report, a 1-1 draw, Atlanta United and FC Dallas. It's John Nelson and now Madison Cruz as well of soccer down here. And before we continue to welcome Maddie into the show, John, you had a couple of leftover thoughts from what Tristan Moyamba had to say with Jason Longshore.
Right, and it had basically, once again, it's the same points that we were getting into in the interview that Maddie had with Ronald Hernandez. Obviously, the frustration is there. They didn't concede. They had the chances. But once again, you don't get that second goal. You're still vulnerable. The improvement is there, and they're also understanding what Ronnie Dyla and the staff wants to do. They understand that playing simple is there, switching the play is there, but the next step, once again, consistency and being clinical. Consistency and clinical, performing during the full 90 minutes. Once again, the fact that they are saying these things is, to me, just as important as understanding that, yeah, they get it.
I want to talk about the back line in a moment, but I had a thought as well.
Uh-oh. You had
look,
a thought.
I think it's fair to be frustrated by the result, mm-hmm. but how much easier is this season to take right now because the performances feel close? I mean, the team is not where we want them to be. They're not where they need to be. They're currently outside the playoff line.
But there's a growth curve that you're seeing here in 25.
It feels maybe I'm parlaying it right now because the Braves, who lost tonight, are now fallen to 1-8, and they don't seem close.
Mm-mm.
Atlanta United seems close.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should be more upset at the results, at the points.
I think
I just am not.
I'm very confident. It's
still
not mutually exclusive. I don't think that you can sit there and anticipate and be mad. I think it's okay. It's okay to want progress, and it's okay to be disappointed with a result. I think that if you were just disappointed with the result and you didn't see any progress, I think that would be a point. But I think that right now you don't have to have one without the other, Maddie.
There's a difference between being close as a group, and I mean, I see it at training. This group, they are close. They have a bond, and it's already forming. That sometimes doesn't necessarily translate on the field as quickly as you'd like it to. I think you're slowly starting to see it. You're seeing those connections really, really form very nicely. But again, I think it's what John said. You're seeing every game, you're seeing an improvement. I thought the team played great. Unfortunately, you just couldn't find something. You couldn't put the game away earlier, and you should have. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. You got to find a way to fix it you got to find a way to fix it before Saturday.
And the other aspect of this is that, and this is what draws us into seeing Matt Edwards and Luis Abram in the back line. How many times have we had what Ronnie Dyla would really call a first choice team?
And once, twice.
I would argue once.
Yeah.
I think it was match two, maybe. Whatever it was, two or three. That was it. And not since then, for a variety of this guy was out, that guy was out, international duty, and then another guy got hurt along the back.
It feels like
you've had your first choice lineup one time this season, and that's part of it, which then brings us to the back line. Luis Abram mm-hmm. slots in for Derek Williams in the center back position alongside Steon. I thought he was excellent. Matt Edwards in for Pedro Amador, dealing with the injury picked up pregame warm-ups a week ago. I thought he was pretty good as well.
You look at Luis's numbers, some of the defensive highlights: 3 clearances, a block, 2 total tackles, won 3 of 6 of his duels on the night. He had 62 touches, 89% passing, 3 of 6 on his long balls to get out of jams. And then you go to Matt Edwards, who was right next to him, 66 minutes, 1 clearance. Once again, you had 2 interceptions, 1 dribble pass. You were 3 of 6 on duels for Matt Edwards again for another week in a row. 96% passing, 24 of 25 for Matt Edwards on the night, too.
On the left side, especially with Matt, I noticed it in this game, and it kind of brought me back to that Charlotte game when he was going up against Zaha. It really made Zaha upset. And we kind of saw it today, too. SC Dallas was having a hard time getting past Matt Edwards when he was on the left side. And Matt, I think, has stepped into this role so nicely. And I think especially because he's so versatile and he can play on the left, he can play center back, he can play on the right. He's a Swiss Army knife. And if you're Ronnie Dyla, you have so many tools, you have so many players who have so many different skill sets that can come in and help you. And Matt Edwards has proven himself
not
to be
someone
who can come in.
Not that you want to know this, but it's good to know that
it's good to know. And I mean, Matt Edwards has stepped up to the plate and he has proven himself time and time again.
Yeah, I think it's been today especially, and I know they did eventually give up a goal, but I was very comfortable with what we were seeing on the backside today, and we were talking about it. I mentioned it to a couple different. I mentioned it to both of you guys separately. It just the defending as a unit tonight, I thought, was as strong as it's been at any point this season. You just didn't have a lot of guys left on islands tonight, and that's why, yes, you did concede once, but it was just the once. And by the way, with the one goal, Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $2,000. So we had a couple changes on the back line. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the changes up top, and that included moving Saba, or keeping Saba as it may be, on the right side. Shonda Silva appearing in the starting lineup, and Miguel Almiron being, even if he was there normally, at least designated in the middle. We'll talk about some of the changes up top and also look ahead to the game coming up next week in the afternoon against the New England Revolution. We'll get a couple moments left here on the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon, John Nelson, and Madison Cruz on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Able to start this game because of an adductor injury. We did see him appear eventually. And so the decision was made to maneuver the attack a little bit, and that meant keeping Saba on the right, where he had been a little bit more dangerous of recent. Moving Miguel Almiron officially into the middle. Of course, he's kind of hanging out in the middle quite a good deal anyways. And then Shonda Silva appears on the left side, and we've seen this formation work for stretches, and it worked from the jump early. How did you guys feel that it sustained throughout this game? And then obviously you did see some adjustments when substitutions were made as well.
I mean, you look at how things laid out. I mean, you're looking at it out of necessity, I think, more than anything else, where it literally is Miggy plays more centrally, and then that means that Tristan Muyumba is more of the conductor and the creator in the midfield, where Bart Sleash is more of the defensive midfielder of those two in the double pivot. And so you're having someone like Tristan continue to create. And we've talked about how Ronnie Dyla has been very, very high on what Tristan has been able to bring to the table. And once again, you're trying to, with Shonda on the left, all right, so you're talking relationships and trying to figure out, okay, if I do this, then what does this mean that Shonda is going to do A, B, C, or D? And so the pieces are there, but once again, just that little step off just because of lack of familiarity, I think.
You need Alexi Maranchuk in the starting lineup, a point blank period. He needs to be in the starting lineup because he's the maestro of everything. Ronnie Dyla said it. We've seen him, what he can do. Mm-hmm. Not only as a number 10 or a number 8, he can do both. He needs to be out there, though. Like, that is the one thing that I think with Alexi, I know there's been a lot of talk about where he should play, the 10, the 8. It's one of those things where he is a player that can do both in the exact same game. You start him as the 10, he can be that playmaker. He then can come down, help defend in that number 8 position, and he can do both. He can still help facilitate. And I think you need Alexi Maranchuk in the starting lineup as a whole. I thought Tristan Muyumba having to take on the role of playmaker, I thought he did a great job with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought he really took it on. And I even saw Sleash as well. Sleash was directing a lot of the play.
He
was moving pieces as well.
Yeah.
They both did a great job in filling that position. And then Miguel as well, creating opportunities, getting open as well. It's what we've all known Miguel to do.
And so now we turn the page and try and do it again in a week's time, a little bit less, because it's going to be an afternoon kickoff. But it is the final of these three straight home games. And obviously 9 points in three games is out the window, but seven would not be too shabby on its own. So certainly you're going to try and pick up three more points. Again, pregame will be at 1:30, live right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Saturday, April 12th, as you get ready for the New England Revolution. And what have you seen early from them so far this season? It's a team that not a great year.
No.
Last year.
No. No.
You guys are both smiling and smirking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
not a great year this year.
No,
No.
No. Caleb Porter is still having issues in New England, and when you don't have Leo Campagna, there's talk that Campagna could be back. There's been a lot of faith in Max Iarrudi. Max Iarrudi at one point as your striker in the 4-2-3-1 that Caleb Porter has employed. Max Iarrudi had the sum total of 12 touches. Everything comes through Carlos Heel, and if you can cut off the supply lines, obviously, with Carlos Heel and make him
so
have to.
Let me just stop you right there.
Sure.
How similar do you think the danger level of Carlos Heel is to what we thought could be Lucho Acosta tonight? Because it was one of those things tonight where, like, man, if you can corral this guy, you got a pretty good shot to win. And I've been saying for a couple of years now, if you can limit Carlos Heel, same thing.
Same, and because then with Carlos Heel, you also have the set piece danger that
we saw that, and I believe it was MLS Goal of the Week, Goal of the Match Day a week ago, an outstanding free kick.
So you know, if you keep Carlos Heel in check, and now just to give you an idea about Heel's numbers tonight,
and they were blanked. Tonight.
Yes, yeah, 1-0 loss. Sergio Santos a goal in the second half with 25 to go. 1-0 loss there. And you had 73 touches, 47 to 53 passing, 6 key passes, 4 crosses, 6 long balls. He is hitting the top of the charts in a lot of offensive categories for New England. So as Carlos Heel goes, he can get you only so far in the creation process. But once again, you've got Ganago, Langoni, or Rudy not really helping you out offensively, and they can't. I don't think Caleb Porter can wait long enough for Leo Campagna to get him to come back.
This is a match. You look at New England and just the way that they've been playing. I go back to that last game against Red Bulls where they beat them 2-1. It was a match that a lot of people were debating on if Caleb Porter didn't get the job done there, that we'd be having a different conversation.
Correct.
But got the job done. And then you go on the road to Cincinnati, it's only a 1-0 loss. Now you have to go back on the road again, come here to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's one of those where it can spell trouble. But I think if Atlanta United can keep composure and they can keep the fight and they can come out there and they can get the job done, I think you're looking at another 3 points here for the Five Stripes. They have to come out and they have to show that fight, because we know this team has it. This team has the fight. We've seen it so many times, what they've been able to do. It has to come out. It has to come out against New England. We got to see it.
And to kind of wrap it all up, the other thing that this team and Ronnie Dyla and the leaders have done such a great job of is just staying positive. Mm-hmm. And again, we're using the term tonight, I guess, a lot here, John, is just the belief.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to feel like the performances are there, and they do. And the results are going to follow. And so this is not a team that is hosting a New England squad, and they're not going to be down on themselves. They're not going to be feeling sorry for themselves. They're not going to be motivated for this game. One, it's too early in the season for that, but also just in general, this is a team that seems to be in a very clear and good headspace, and I think that does bode well also for next week against New England.
Ronnie even said in postgame, he said talking to the players, that they're all disappointed and they thought they should have killed the game early, and noted that, that he sees the improvement, and that so does the team. It's there. The team knows, but that's going to be even a bigger motivating factor going into next week, especially as you see them in training, as we see them get ready for New England. That is going to be the momentum shift for them. That's going to be what's the trigger for them, especially because you see what you can do in a game. We saw a full 90-minute performance, a solid performance, I would say, from Atlanta. We've seen it. It's there. Now you got to find goals. Now you got to get there, and you got to get 3 points on Saturday.
Special thanks to Dom Chirosky, our producer back in the studio, and to Jake Cook, our on-site engineer. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, and Madison Cruz and John Nelson of Soccer Down Here, I am Abe Gordon. Join us again at 1:30 on Saturday, April 12th, for our next broadcast as Atlanta United will take on the New England Revolution. Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 1, NFC Dallas 1. That's going to do it for the full-time report right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.